The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on Tuesday, the 4th of September, with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin. Hey, right, welcome back. We've got loads more messages coming in. We've got another great guest to talk to, loads of things to do in the second part of the show, so welcome back. I've got an email, a tweet here that I'm going to read first from a chap called Andrew Dennis, who's a new listener, and he says, "Hi, be great to give street photography projects a plug, please."
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, delivered by Andrew Dennis 227, that's his Twitter handle, and Benjamin in Film, which is another Twitter handle, and it tackles social disengagement amongst young people, working with children and young people across the southeast. It doesn't tell me any more than that. So what I suggest you do is give Andrew a follow on the Twitter and find out some more about the, and there's a hashtag, which is street photography is the hashtag. Have a look at it. But Andrew's Twitter handle is Andrew Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S 227. Andrew Dennis 227. So find out about that. Sounds interesting. What you got, Jules?
Did you read about the food junkies? I can't remember.
No.
Okay, so hello. Please give the food junkies, that's at the _ food junkies, from my ikigai, a shout. Am I saying that right? I think this is Bruce's posse, isn't it? I've just caught on.
He's like my ikigai.
Yeah, a shout out on your show. Our new range of vegan quiches has been unleashed. What is your ikigai? I need to know, what is ikigai? Is that a South African?
No, not at all. Ikigai is a Japanese concept, and it's your reason for being. It's the area in your life that everything comes together, your vocation, your training, your job, and everything comes together, and that's your reason for getting up in the morning.
Bruce and Russell.
Can you do Japanese?
Japanese food?
No.
Oh, you're talking to me?
I'm talking to you,
Jules.
As soon as anybody mentions an area of the world, you normally do the accent, but I noticed you avoided the Japanese accent.
I was looking at their picture. It was lovely. Kanpai.
Yeah.
Kanpai. Yeah, I'm fluent, darling, fluent. Didn't you know?
Yeah. I used to know 1 to 10 in Japanese.
Go on, then.
Well, Ichi ni san, shiko ro, ishi hachi kuju, something like that.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yoko Ono.
That was a pop group in the 80s.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Dave D, Bozy, Miki, Mick and Ichikogo. Yeah.
Yoko Ono.
Yeah, exactly.
What else? Nori.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that.
Anyway, we're saying hello to them. Yeah, the food junkies.
Cool.
I'm going to connect them with Plamil.
I'm going to do a couple more things, and then we're going to talk to Neville. Storm Chasers Digital. Can we have a Business Bunker shout out for the WordPress Academy by Storm Chasers Web at Dragon Co-working on Tuesday, the 11th of September? It's free, it's fun, and it's helping businesses with WordPress. You can book here, it says, and then I can't read the booking. So the easiest thing is to follow them on the Twitter, Storm Chasers Web, all one word, Storm Chasers Web. Give them a follow. Find out about the WordPress Academy at the fantastic Dragon Co-working.
Well, I've just seen a picture of their quiche, and it's really nice. Unleash the quiche. It's very, very nice. It's rather making me a bit peckish, actually. There's one here to hello Paul, and no mention of me at all.
Good.
From Raphael.
Raphael de Santos.
I'm going to read it in a curmudgeonly way.
Are you?
So he says, "Hello Paul, I've been involved in a campaign to raise awareness about entrepreneurs' mental health. Anxiety and depression are common amongst entrepreneurs, but hardly spoken about. Mediation is one of the tools you can use to keep your mind relaxed and your thoughts under control. The Modern Mystery School is offering free meditation classes." Hang on, let me look at this. Yes, one of them says mediation, but the second one says meditation. So I think it's meditation. One of the Modern Mystery School is offering free meditation sessions. And because I'm a big fan of meditation, I thought I'd share with you their free sessions. I've been to several of their sessions, and that's why I recommend it. So I think Paul Andrews is going to put a link on Kent Business Radio afterwards. But there is one here, which is /modern-mystery-school-EU. Please share this link with entrepreneurs and people you know. People suffering with mental health, depression especially, tend not to say anything to anyone and hide away. Have a good weekend. Raphael. Thank you, Raphael, for that. And maybe you'll be interested in the Ruby Wax thing that we mentioned earlier in the show.
Absolutely. I want to do a couple of things. Let me tell you about this. The Business Bunker Show is really proud and pleased to partner with the University of Kent Business School, and they're going to be bringing information and insights from their business research undertaking at the university, and they'll be forging links with SMEs and the university. Basically, the Kent Business School, University of Kent, is a Russell Group university, based in Canterbury with campuses in Medway and Tunbridge Wells, and the Kent Business School has done a huge amount of research on business activities, but they'd like to move that down and they'd like to build relationships with small and medium-sized businesses. They've recognised, like most of us, that the future's small. 99% of all businesses in the UK are in fact SMEs, and they want to forge greater connections with the small business community, and they're going to also be offering networking events, and there's also an annual business summit, and you can read about the 2018 summit, which happened in January this year, by going to our website, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KSB, and you can hear about the summit that went down last year. Early next year, I don't have a date for it yet, but early next year will be the second Kent Business Summit staged at the University of Kent. There will be a number of speakers and a number of roundtables. I will be chairing a session on employability and skills, especially amongst disabled and supported needs people. So, and there's loads of other different workshops going on throughout the day. It's a free event, and as soon as we get details of that, we'll release it for you. However, coming up next, they have the next in their series of business soundbite events, and it's taking place on the 12th of September. It's taking place at the Kent Business School, which is the Sibson Building at the University of Kent campus in Canterbury. And the topic is leadership in large organisations, and is the future female? Is the topic
definitely?
And it's led by.
I'm not sure Neville agrees.
I thought the past and the current was
exactly. Yeah, no change there then. The talk's going to be led by Dr. Patricia Laws, and in fact, Patricia will be on the Business Bunker Show next Tuesday, so you can hear from her. It's completely free, and you can book by going to Kent Business. radio.co.uk/KBS, and you can find it there. And then coming up later in the year on the 23rd of October is the Curiosity Cost. The Curiosity Cost is a fascinating talk. And I haven't got it written down here, and it was rescheduled because it was scheduled on the night that England got knocked out of the World Cup semi-final, so nobody actually went to the last one for some strange reason.
It was like a ghost town outside my house on that night.
Yeah, but the keynote speaker, if I remember rightly, is a guy called Dr. Philippa Papos.
A little bit of a Greek in there, isn't
he? Yeah, although he isn't, but he has obviously...
His ancestors.
Yeah, yeah. And that's taking place at the Turner Contemporary Gallery in Margate.
Plays the bouzouki.
Yeah. It's the Turner Contemporary in Margate on the 23rd of October, and that's the Curiosity Cost. It's about innovation in business and, you know, looking at odd things. And then on the 21st of November, back at the Kent Business School, Man and Machine, The End of an Era, Are Robots Taking Over the Workplace? So some interesting and controversial workshops coming up, all free. They're big discussion workshops taking place at the University of Kent. You can find it.
So would they be female workshops?
Well, obviously. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Of course they are. Yeah. Yes, of course they are. They are curious female robots. You can find out all about these by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS, and all the details are there and all the booking links are there.
Launch of Space Co-working in Rye. Come along to the launch event to see and hear about the new flexible working business space, which will be available later in the year. September the 13th, 5:30 to 7, Space Co-working. It's at the Old Cinema, Fish Market Road, Rye. I like that address. I would like an address like that. The Old Cinema, Fish Market Road, in Rye. You can find out more by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, but it is on September the 13th, 5:30 to 7 p.m.
Yeah, it's a new co-working space that being launched, Jane Garner. There is a speaker at that event, unfortunately.
There is?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not you again.
Oh, I'm afraid it is, yeah.
Oh. I know your speech, though, off by heart.
I'm doing a different one.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to throw you in case you came.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I do like Rye, actually.
It's lovely, yeah. It's really interesting, and it's a nice place to have a co-working space.
Now, talking about speakers, we've got the speakers platform, Be Seen and Be Heard, on Wednesday the 12th of September. It's 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. It's at the Fruitworks co-working place in Canterbury. Are you a speaker, they ask, and would you like to practice your speaking skills? Would you like to use your skills to win a competition, giving you the chance to improve your speaking and help you to elevate yourself as a professional speaker? Then you should join us, they say, at the speakers platform on Wednesday the 12th of September. We'd like to hear your business journey, your highs, your lows, your successes and your failures. And the prize for the overall winner will be one-to-one coaching from each of our judges, who will share with you ways to improve your speaking and earn money as a professional speaker. A video of your talk of the night, fully edited and ready to use as part of your speaker reel, a speaking slot at the December's, business diaries, and a few extras thrown in. The judges are Paul Andrews. Is this your show or something? Former professional speaker, and Jane Farnham, director of the Great British Speakers. Ah, oh, I see. Hang on, there should be a comma there. So our judges are Paul Andrews, former professional speaker, comma, and Jane Farnham, director of the Great British Speakers. Also, Amy McManus, Business Female Speaker of the Year, will be there. Entries must be submitted before 31st of August. So
that's been extended.
They can still...
You've got until tomorrow, apparently.
Still wheedle in.
You've got until tomorrow to put it in, but you have to be quick.
You better wheedle in quickly. Yeah. So go to www.butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/the-speakers-platform. Wheedle in there quickly.
And that's taking place at my place in Canterbury, Fruitworks.
I do love your place there. Yeah. It's very nice.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Good. Fantastic. Thank you for that. Do you know what? I think it's about time we had some more sense, don't you?
I think we need to talk to Neville.
I think we need to talk some common sense and some human interaction here from a non-robot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And a non-female.
A non-female robot. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Kent Business Bunker radio show, Mr. Neville Pritchard. Neville, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Come and all the way from Buckingham.
He made a long trip to come here, with his glamorous assistant, Corinne.
Corinne.
thank you for coming. Neville's from People in Flow. And you recently published a book, Go Beyond. I want to talk about both of those.
Okay.
Let's kick off by finding out a little bit about Neville. Tell us a bit about you, though, Neville.
Other than being old and being around.
Oh, I think I beat you probably, but yeah.
Basically, many years in corporate life in the world of HR. Prior to that, I was a PE teacher.
Oh, right, okay.
Wow.
But that was a long time ago.
All right.
Kept the figure, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Snake hips.
Handy with a plimsoll.
Yeah. Snake hips.
So fundamentally through the world of HR for 30-odd years and last 14 with my own companies.
Okay. Yeah. And People in Flow is your company?
People in Flow is a company which is, I'm one of the owners of the company.
Fantastic. So tell us, I'm actually fascinated, what made you move from PE teaching into HR?
I want to know what his favourite sport is first. Well, I think rugby.
Well, rugby and cricket.
See, okay. I knew.
Yeah.
The old broad shoulders.
Yeah.
lovely fair short. So what was the question?
What made you make the move from teaching to HR?
Oh, well, there was an interim step into sales.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So teaching into sales into HR and learning and development. Fundamentally, the absolute reason was finance.
Right. Okay.
My bank manager told me to go and get a job to
that actually pays the mortgage.
Well, to actually afford the life I'd already started living.
Oh, right, okay. I like it. Cool. So tell us a bit about People in Flow, what it is you do as a business, how you do it, why you do it.
Okay, well, briefly, People in Flow, it's a consultant firm. It's really all about helping companies enable people to be in flow,
right,
where they're more productive, they're more resilient, they're motivated, they're engaged, they're actually generating more value. So the line is, I think, that we are a consulting firm focusing on people performance support and development. Mm. We explore through rapid and deep insight tools organizational energy.
Okay.
And through that, where do we focus? Three areas: in the workplace itself, and workplace performance and people in the workplace. We look at the organizational health and its level of engagement and commitment. And we look at then the contributing factors such as leadership and people's impact and influence.
That's cool. And we were talking off air earlier about the 30-30 program that we do in schools, and we were just kicking around some ideas there. What fascinates me from my perspective is that allegedly, I'm not entirely sure about this, but allegedly the numbers show that we have quite low productivity in the UK, even though we seem to be working longer and longer hours. But also we have a fundamental change in the way we do things. And we were talking about this in terms of millennials and Generation Z's approach to work. But it is a change, as far as I'm concerned, brought about by technology and this thing that we're calling the gig economy. Mm. So from my point of view, in the kind of work you're doing, there's a lot of issues starting to come along in terms of how we manage people, how we manage workflow, how we make people productive or allow them to be productive.
I think that you've got it.
Yeah.
Basically, I think there's a huge emphasis at the moment on performance management, on role profiles, on boundaries of what people are allowed to do, not allowed to do, the way they should do it, the way they shouldn't do it. Mm. You bring people into an organization, you recruit somebody for the skills and the energy they're going to bring.
Yep.
And within 3 seconds of walking through the front door, you slap them down and say, no, we're not going to have any of that.
We don't do it like that round here.
Exactly. So it's about how do we enable people's natural energy, their skills, their desire to contribute and be productive to actually materialize.
Yep.
There are so many things that are being done to people that what we try to look at is, well, how do we flip that from being done to done with?
Yeah.
And once we've actually looked at the way, you know, there's a lot of management whereby this is the way we are going to do it. This is the way I want it done. We still have examples of micromanagement all over the place. Mm. There are some industries and some companies where that would be appropriate, particularly high risk environments, mining or petroleum or these sorts of things, where you actually have to do things in a certain way.
Yeah.
However, where you are looking for people to be innovative, to be creative, to actually generate ideas, to provide service, well, you get the best service where you walk into a shop or into a business and you know there's a high energy in that business and people want to do a good job. Mm. That's what leadership is about. It's about enabling people to want to do a good job as often as possible, and they'll do that the more they are in flow.
Absolutely, absolutely. I came across something a while back, and I'd be interested in your view on this. And it was somebody made reference to a thing they called iceberg management.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've come across it before, where basically what they're saying is the senior executives or the board of an organisation probably know 4% of what's going on. The middle managers know 14% of what's going on. The supervisors know 26% of what's going on. And the frontline staff know 100% of what's going on. But we actually take our follow from the people at the top who know the least.
Yeah. We did a lot of research into customer service, and we looked at, and we have actually, our one of our tools is a customer service survey.
Right.
Where we actually ask staff how they would improve it.
Mm.
And you can't believe the results, how much more significant the results are when staff input ways in which their service levels can be improved.
Mm.
There are so many things that get in the way, but the number one thing that gets in the way, management of process.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, this isn't the way we do it. I had a perfect example.
Computers say no.
Yeah. I had a lovely example yesterday. I was a little bit, probably a little bit unfair on this chap that phoned me up to see whether I'd recommend his company. Well, I wouldn't. I found myself explaining why. And he finished the conversation. Well, there isn't really much I can do about that. Well, of course there was something he could do about it. He could go and tell somebody, but he said, I have to put it in the computer.
Yeah.
And there isn't a box for what you've just said.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if we're going to do everything by what can fit in the box, then we get what we deserve, really.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And that is one of the things that drives you more nuts than anything else, is when people ask you things and then try to force you to tell them the answer that they want.
Yeah.
By only giving you a limited set of options in terms of what you can say.
Yeah.
And when I do anything like that, I always end up, if there's another box, I always end up running out of space because I try to put all my answers in the other box.
And there is a difficult balance in some industries between needing to comply, needing to be safe, I think is probably a better word, and being able to generate value and profit.
Yeah.
That balance often is a thin line.
It is.
And leaders kind of have to enable people, give people a little bit of credit, I think, for understanding the ways in which they will be safe.
Mm.
And then enable them to find ways in which they can add value within a framework. I had a boss a few years back when I was at Abbey National who came up with the whole idea of a branch staff having freedom within a framework.
Right.
It worked tremendously well because
just
it's
describe
giving people
the freedom
away.
Within a framework.
Well, basically, the framework is beyond this you can't do because we'd get into trouble. Mm. Inside this box, make it work. Make it work locally. Make it work as a team. And being rewarded as teams rather than individuals is quite good. The whole performance management thing switches then into, well, let's enable performance through the team. Let's not worry about confining people and making them do things by certain dates.
Or absolutely. Absolutely. It's really funny. Yesterday or the day before, somebody on Twitter, a company in Canterbury called Trace Creative, in conjunction with the Federation of Small Business, were just tweeting out things about why people became self-employed. And they asked me why I started my first business. And my answer was because I got really sick and tired of being trapped in a corporate environment in which they never took any notice of any of the innovations or ideas I came up with because it wouldn't work round here, which was the same answer I got every time I came up with something. And so that's kind of a severe example of what you're talking about, Neville, is how we constrain people. You're absolutely right. Many years ago, I mean like 1,000 years ago, before Noah was born, I worked in the energy industry and we built nuclear power stations. And you don't really want people free-forming around a nuclear power station. I wonder what happens if you press this then.
I've got a good idea.
Yeah. You know, you need a set of safety protocols to handle. We actually built 3 Mile Island, by the way. You need a set of safety protocols. And as it happens, that particular instance, 3 Mile Island, whilst it was one of the first nuclear accidents ever recorded, it actually wasn't that bad because the procedures worked and were followed. And in fact, the only injury was the guy that caused the problem. He accidentally put the core into meltdown, realised what he'd done and tried to stop it by holding the levers, and it broke his arm. Basically, that was the injury, but there was a small radiation leak. But hey, you know, a few green people on the East Coast, nobody noticed. But the procedures, the safety procedures actually worked, and that was the main thing.
Yeah.
So in those kind of environments. You're absolutely right, Neville. You need some kind of process that manages that. But, you know, the difference between running a nuclear power station and an insurance company is vastly different.
And the difference between a building site and the building head office is also different.
Exactly.
So you can't really expect the same framework to work in both places or same leadership style.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
And so you've got to understand people.
Yeah.
Understand yourself, understand people, and really start to think about. We use a thing called management balance sheets,
right,
which looks at the profit and loss of management behavior.
Yeah.
You know, and it's staggering sometimes at the things that are done to confine.
Mm. Absolutely. I don't want to put words in your mouth. These are just my thoughts and feelings on it. But it sounds like we may be on similar wavelength here. One of my big things is that the 20th century was a time of building big multinational companies, huge organizations managed from the top down, because that's the only way you could do it. There was no other way of managing effectively a huge distributed workforce that you couldn't communicate with most of the time. So in the 20th century, we had these huge, big structures. I really don't think that works anymore. And I think it's the problem that we try to manage everything from the top down with one set of procedures and structures. If you look at any big organization, government organizations tend to be the worst. I had some ridiculous examples from the NHS personally in the last couple of weeks. It was hilarious. We had a very serious appointment to make with a consultant, waited 4 months, got a letter the week before cancelling the appointment because the consultant was on holiday. On the day before the appointment, we got a text confirming the appointment. So we rang up and said, shall we come or shall we not? And they went, well, don't know.
Because they don't speak to each other.
Well, could you find out? They went away for 7 minutes and they came back and said, we can't find out because the consultant's on holiday.
There's your answer.
So again, well, we won't come in then, huh? And they went, yeah, okay, probably safe. Can we rearrange an appointment? So we rearranged an appointment for 2 months hence, okay? We went to that appointment and we were waiting for some test results. A few days ago, we got a letter and we thought, oh, goody, the test results. And it was a really rude letter saying, you failed to turn up for your appointment. Therefore, we won't not be scheduling another one unless you talk to us. So we rang up and they went, oh, yeah, you've been in, haven't you?
And the waste of money.
The waste of time, money and pain.
Yeah.
And I'm having a go at them, but that happens in the private sector as well as the public sector with big organisations that lose control of their processes.
Every organisation is uniquely different, yet we put the same processes into every organisation.
Yeah.
We say this in the book. We look at HR as a starting point for understanding the organisation, looking at where it's providing defence, where it's being creative and where it's really adding real value.
Yep.
The defence, midfield, attack sort of scenario.
Yep.
What we're looking at there is the fact that in so many organisations, the HR function is doing exactly the same, even though the company intent, purpose, its ambition are different. And if everything in an organisation is different, including the individuals within it, why are we organising everything in exactly the same way?
Yeah.
Yep.
The need to adapt, the need to move quickly, is going to be greater in the next few years than ever before.
Yep.
And if organisations aren't able to do that, they will lose out to quicker, faster people. That started, you know, 15, 20 years ago, but it's going to come through a lot quicker now.
Mm.
So the ability to think, what do we need? What can we build? How do we do it? And that's where our organization looks to help. And as I say, that's where we start to say, well, understanding people, enabling people to be at their best every day.
Yep.
We were talking about the youngsters coming into an organization. Yep. They bring new skills.
Mm.
They bring new mindsets.
Yep.
You have to embrace those. If you've recruited somebody, you clearly want them to add value. If you want them to add value, you've got to let them play.
Yep.
It is like signing the most expensive centre forward in football history and then saying, until you've learnt to play in our team, you're not going to get on the field, young people.
Or put him in goal.
Put him in goal. We like the way, we like the, your boots, but you'll have to wear different ones and go in goal. That's, I mean, just crazy.
The interesting thing, especially about younger people, millennials, Generation Z and stuff like that, I see so many business owners or business managers talk about the difficulty of managing younger people. And it strikes me that the fact is, though, this is you're actually missing something really big here. These people are your customers too.
Yeah.
They're going to be your customers for the next 20 or 30 years. It would really help if instead of trying to change them, you try to understand them. Yeah.
Understanding is very, very important. And if you flip it, imagine how difficult it is being managed by somebody older who doesn't understand. You know? Don't ask Corin.
No,
she knows we do.
I've told this story a million times. It annoys everybody, but I'll tell it again. Many, many years ago, for some bizarre reason, as a 20-year-old, I was the vice president of a bank. Okay. And I was trying, I worked in technology, and I was trying to implement some technology solutions to traditional banking things. And we went to a meeting and I did a presentation on what I wanted to do. And one of the other vice presidents sat there and he went, "Listen, son," he said, "I've got 35 years experience in banking. What you're suggesting is never going to work." And I just turned around and blurted out, with all due respect, Pat, I said, "You've got 1 year's experience repeated 35 times. And of course, everybody else fell about laughing. He hated me from ever, from there on in. So I'd made a real bad enemy. So it was a bit of a mistake. But I found that so often, you know, that what people think is experience is just the same thing over and over again.
There are responsibilities. Everybody who goes through the door every day in a workplace or wherever they're working has a responsibility for their own performance. They have a responsibility for their own development, and they have a responsibility for making sure they work collaboratively with others and that they can help others to grow.
Yep.
If you're a leader, that's important, but equally, if you're a team member, that's important. How you do that in an organisation varies depending on what it's doing, what it's trying to achieve, how big it is, how many people. So all of those factors come in, but any support systems that go in, anything you're looking to achieve, has to align to that intent, has to be managed really, really well, and has ultimately to create impact.
Yep.
And if we're not doing those things, then stop doing them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're kind of running out of time, and I want to talk about Go Beyond, which is the book that you co-authored.
Please hold it up, because I'm filming you.
All right. Well, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, a bit of product placement.
I'd have breathed in more.
I thought you were.
Thank you.
So you co-authored this book along with Richard Scott.
Yeah.
Go Beyond. Give us an overview of what the book's about.
Basically, it's really a call to action to do just what I've been talking about. It's about asking HR departments in particular to take a good long look at themselves and say, are we doing what this business needs? And it's really just simply saying, please ask yourself questions. Here are a few ideas, here are some things that worked, here are things that are working in other places, but not to be copied. Because you're different. And looking at it, we run through a whole raft of different aspects of people support.
Right.
The first thing we actually talk about is why are you called HR? Imagine, I mean, you will have heard all of the, you know, titters in the corridors of you know, HR are coming and all this sort of thing. What do you actually do? Nobody laughs at marketing. Nobody laughs at sales or finance because they know what they do. Well, what does HR do? Well, call it what it is. It's people support. Maybe people support and development. But whatever it does for you and whatever you need it to do, call it that. Because then you start on the same place, at the same place as everybody else, and you've got a chance to contribute.
We used to have all of that just for a laugh. We'd send memos. We have a human resource that's being difficult. we need your help. It's fascinating as well, isn't it? Because for me, I find that exciting and innovative, and sometimes internal company departments like HR or accounting or whatever can be quite dull. you know, it's just following a set of processes and things. But they needn't be. They can be very innovative and you can do some really interesting strategic things.
Once you understand where you are going to add value for this organisation at this time and in the future, then you can start to have fun.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And fun means getting people in flow. You know, if you're somebody who naturally is inclined to support other people, you want to see people being successful. If you're not interested in other people being successful, people support is probably the wrong area, but so too is being a leader.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to want people to succeed.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sorry, Jules is trying to airdrop me something at the moment.
That's only the video of Neville.
Oh, were you? Well, I just declined your airdrop request, sorry.
You
I didn't know who it was, and I'm trying to read my phone because I've got tweets coming, and I got messages. I got my dentist ringing me to see if I'm still alive, and all
can't
kinds
you,
of things.
Can't you multitask?
And I'm trying to follow a cricket game.
it's the trouble with technology these days, isn't it? It comes at you, and, you know, this is... But, you know, it's a real part of our everyday life that technology is so ingrained in what we do now that it has completely changed a lot of the ways that we go about doing things.
It's interesting because it can be, A, helpful, but also it can be a hindrance.
Yeah.
If you start to do things just because it's available, it may be completely wrong for your organisation. There are so many ways you can deliver learning opportunities in organisations. But we can't hide behind the things that say, well, this generation want it this way, this generation want it that way. Actually, every generation wants it in a range of ways.
Yeah.
To be the right way at the right time for them, for the extent of their need. And in that respect, we've got to start thinking about personalised learning.
Yeah, absolutely.
And enabling people to take responsibility for being at their best along with everybody else around them.
I'm a great believer in moving away from one size fits all in all kinds of things because it doesn't. It never did, but it was the only way you could handle things before, but now you can't.
Yeah. A bit like your new phone.
Exactly, yeah. What a pain.
the old one worked very well.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Even though you know what to do, you know how to do it, you kind of go, this is going to be a pain. It's always a pain, and then it's a pain. Yeah, and it's just silly things. It's silly things. When I was transferring the data from one phone to the other, it got interrupted. It corrupted the transfer file, right? So I had to start again. So when I started again, I went to restore the backup, and it asked me for a password that I couldn't remember. And then it wouldn't, from there on in, it just went downhill.
Both there, in that example, and in one you mentioned earlier, the way in which you were communicated with made you negatively...
Exactly.
In your mind, you were now down.
Yeah.
In work, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
One of the biggest skills that leaders, managers, and other people to each other can really get to grips with is how to best communicate with each other in different ways that continually lift the levels of energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rather than set it that way.
Absolutely. And that's still a big area with things like technical instructions and stuff like that, because they can be so negative. You start off by being scared because it says you have to agree to this, you have to read our 95-page thing, and we agree that you can give us everything in your life forever, blah, 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 blah. And you just, you go, ooh. Absolutely. Neville, fascinating to talk to you.
How can we get hold of your book?
I think just as with Bruce, if you go to our website, which is www.peopleinflow.com, A, you can see what we do, and B, there's also all of the options on how to buy the book.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. And that link is also on the Kent Business Radio website under show 393, and it will stay there forever. It's on the homepage at the moment, but it will stay under show 393 forever.
Thank you, Paul.
So do find it out. Neville, thank you. Thank you so much for coming and joining us. And a fascinating discussion. You're absolutely right about innovation in looking after our people. It's really important. Thank you so much for that. Do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. But for the moment, Mr. Neville Pritchard of People in Flow, thank you so much.
Thank
Fabulous.
You.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Me Now Co on Twitter.
All right, okay.
And they say, hello, Vanilla Webb.
Hello. Did they say hello?
They did.
Are they from Australia too?
No, they're a little Whitstable company, aren't they?
Yeah.
They say, could we get a little shout out, please? Our CEO, that's Barry Thompson, will be giving the feature presentation at the Invicta Chamber Muesli Mafia Breakfast Networking event this coming Thursday at the Ashford International Hotel. And many thanks, they say.
Fantastic.
Very polite people.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet also from Hannah Skerritt. She said, hello, it would be great if we could get a shout out on the Business Bunker show for the RBLI teams delivering the Let's Get Working project. That's RBLI, Royal British Legion, isn't it? RBLI delivering the Let's Get Working project, supporting those with long-term health conditions or disabilities, accessing social groups, learning and employment across the county. And they've got a hashtag Let's Get Working, hashtag Social Isolation, hashtag Break the Cycle. Do give Hannah a follow. It's Hannah Skerritt, S-K-E-R-R-I-T-T, zero is her Twitter handle. Hannah Skerritt, and that's the Royal British Legion working with people with disabilities. What you got, Jules?
I've only got one final.
Have you? I've got loads.
First of all, Martin Paul White's being very rude about my Japanese.
Is he?
Yes. And I think I'm, as I said, I'm fluent in Japanese. But the Women in Business Lunch has got speakers, the at Kim Arnold 5 and Jill Perry, OBE, former CEO of Anne Frank Trust. And the lunch is chaired by Lydiard Emma.
Emma Lydiard.
Thank you very much. MD of Heart Kent, which is the radio station, I think.
She's the MD for Heart FM here in Kent.
Used to be Invicta, of course, didn't it?
It did, many years ago.
In the olden days. 25th of September, Bradbourne House, East Malling. Details and book, you can go to www.kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk.
Fantastic. Gillian Perry was on the show last week. She was the co-founder of the Anne Frank Trust.
Was she really?
Yeah, really interesting lady. So that's going to be a good event to go to.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about the Chimps and Tricks charity event. You did mention this earlier, didn't you?
I did.
But I'm going to give you a bit more information about it.
Okay.
It's taking place at the Portland Hotel on Friday the 19th of October from 6 p.m. until 11:30. It'll be later than that. It's hosted by Amanda Flanders of Butterflies Events, oh and me, in collaboration with Jane Mucklow Photography. Guests will be welcomed with a glass of bubbly and canapes in the stunning setting of the main house before moving to the marquee for a mixture of great entertainment, mouth-watering food, an auction with lots of exciting pledges, and in dancing the night away with the fabulous Jason Allen Sway and his swing band. Amanda's gathered together a great variety of Kent entertainment for the evening to excite and delight you. Three amazing magicians who will be working the room, blowing your mind with their skills, plus a couple of casino tables to test your luck. During the evening, you'll be continuously supplied with the most delicious food from the fabulous Chives Caterers.
Oh, I love them.
Graham now you Green. Can do your Australian accent.
Graham Green.
Because Graham Green's an Aussie chef.
And lovely Debs, of course.
And the lovely Deborah.
They adore each other.
Yeah, and the food that they make is brilliant.
Yeah, it is.
You'll then get the chance to bid on the auction.
Bonza, actually.
It's Bonza. Yeah, it is Bonza. Yeah. To get the chance to bid on the auction pledges that take your fancy. Our entertainment, who are all donating their time entirely for free. The magicians are Stu Weller, Rob Scott and Neil Edward. The casino is supplied by Dan Smith at Ace Casinos. And the music is by Jason Allen, Sway and his swing band. All the money raised is going to the Aspinall Foundation's Megafauna Project, a project established to reintroduce the regionally extinct mandrill and a reinforcement to the low numbers of chimpanzees in the Bateke Plateau region. Tickets £55 a person, or group bookings of six or more, you can get that reduced to £50 a person. All the proceeds going straight to the fundraising. For find out more and to book your place, book your table or book your ticket, butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/what's on.
Well, it sounds like a delicious event.
It's fantastic. Amanda ran the first one of those last year, which was a Gorillas and Gowns,
yeah,
which was a fashion show. Yeah. It was absolutely brilliant. It was a fantastic evening, raised $6,000 on the night,
yeah,
which is really brilliant. Want to outdo that this year, but Chimps and Tricks, be there. It's going to be the place to be.
Yeah.
There's going to, I can't tell you who, but there's going to be a couple of celebs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you.
And me. Yeah. Yeah. No, you don't ignore me. I'm just a compare. Yeah, there's going to be a couple of celebs.
And it
was
sumptuous.
Yeah, so it's good fun, and it was really brilliant last year, and it's going to be even better this year. So come along. I also want to tell you about a couple of events happening on the Marsh. There's the Romney Marsh Networking Group, and they have some events coming up on the 5th of September. That's manana, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
At the Cinqport Arms. It's Marsh Networking Over Coffee at the Cinqport Arms in High Street, New Romney. And that starts at 10 a.m. That, I like that. I'm not a big fan of breakfast networking. I can't get up.
Well, I find I can get up. That's fine. But then about 11:30, when you're back at your desk,
you collapse.
You feel it's the middle of the night, don't you?
No, this is much more civilised. It's coffee at 10. I can do that.
Coffee is fabulous.
Yeah,
at 10.
I can do that. Yeah. And then for those of us that
that's almost 11s is.
Yeah, well, and then for those of us that can't even make that, yeah, on Tuesday the 11th of September at 5 p.m., there's Marsh After Hours Networking.
Very good.
And Business Forum.
Yeah.
And that's taking place at the Ship in Dimchurch.
A lovely pub.
It is a lovely pub. It's been taken over and it's been redone. Mm. A really interesting
Isn't
area
that a
there.
Favourite of Kevin Cann? One of our
I
directors.
Think it's one of the haunts that he hangs out in.
It's one of his haunts.
It is one of the haunts that he hangs out. We had our Christmas party, the Channel Radio Christmas party at the Ship. Yeah, no, interesting place. Once the home of the infamous Hawkhurst gang, smugglers and various of this parish. I bet they never did Making Tax Digital, did they? cool. So that's the Marsh After Hours Networking and Business Forum at the Ship Dimchurch on the 11th of September. And Terry Botfield, who runs those, you can contact Terry, Terry at Botfield, BOTFIELD.net. That's his email address. If you want to follow him on the Twitter, and I suggest you do because he's got one of the greatest Twitter handles ever, his Twitter handle is TD Botty.
I love that. That could get him into some trouble, couldn't
it? Yeah, TD Botty. So give him a follow on the Twitter. And Terry's also running this, which is a really nice thing. We decided to support CARM, C-A-R-M, carmromneymarsh.org.uk, a local charity that supports older people living in isolation on the Romney Marsh. And that part of supporting people that live on the Romney Marsh, and they're organising a charity dinner to boost support for the charity. The Marsh Network has organised a charity dinner which begins at 6:30 p.m. on the 14th of September at the Ship in Dimchurch. You're like this, Jules. There's a Prosecco reception.
Ooh,
sponsored by the Ship Inn.
My one weakness.
You will be played music by the Two Harps.
Oh, another one of
And they're
one
brilliant,
weaknesses.
Aren't they?
I love a harp.
There's a three-course meal, and then Stu Weller will providing
amazing.
Some close-up magic.
He's a great magician.
There's a raffle and a grand charity auction with mega prizes. There are 30 tickets still available. They have sold quite a few. It's £37.50 a ticket for the dinner, and booking early because it promises to be a good night.
It's always difficult, isn't it, when you've had a couple of bottles of Prosecco and then you enter an auction.
Yeah. Which, you know, well, let me tell you what some of the auction prizes are.
I'll have that. Yeah, I'll have
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'll have that. Well, that happened at a charity fashion show last year. Pete, my managing director of one of my companies, who was there with his wife, and he kept bidding for things.
Yeah.
And at the end, I went, that was really generous of you. And he went, oh, I'm not spending the money. You are. I'm bidding for the company. Oh, cheers, Pete. Thank you. let me tell you.
I like the way he rolls.
Yeah. Let me tell you what some of the charity prizes are at this event. Eurostar have donated a pair of standard Premier Eurostar return tickets to Paris, Brussels or Lille. That's worth a minimum of £398. So if you fancy a jaunt to the continent on the Eurostar, there's a couple of tickets going
spare.
Nice. The Romney Hive and Dimchurch Railway, a driver experience. You can drive your own steam train, Jules.
Wow, I'd love that.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, I'm full of hot air.
Yeah, you are. So it's a driver experience on the Romney Hive and Dimchurch Miniature Railway.
When's that?
The event is taking place on the 14th of September. Yeah. So you can probably bid for it without going to the event as well, if you fancy it, Neville. iMasters, a pair of custom-fitted designer glasses from iMasters. A space work co-working in Rye, a free dedicated desk for a month at Space Co-working in Rye. or EE have donated a new mobile phone. I might have to have a word with him.
Sounded like a mouse then.
Yeah.
EE.
Thank you.
Get it.
EE have donated a new Huawei. Huawei P20 Lite, which has top-end features and retails at £270. So there's some of the auction prizes. Really, some really nice stuff. If you want to find out more, go to marshnetwork.co.uk or follow Terry at TD Botty on Twitter.
I forgot to mention the link for this registration to submit views on the development consent order for the Manston Airport site, which is hugely important for all of us here in East Kent. The link that I found was on the Isle of Thanet News, so go to the Isle of Thanet News. But it's your chance to submit your views. There's two very different things, you know, so it's really crucial if we're going to try and get an airport. It's a whole other show, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we've been talking about Manston for many years. We had Charles on there, who was the original CEO when Manston was operation. We actually had Henri Arcard, who was the chief executive of Air France when they took it over. And Henri came on the show and talked about their plans for the airport, but they never seemed to come to fruition.
That was my show. It was my baby. I forced you to have them on.
Yeah, you did.
But it was interesting, wasn't it?
Me.
And then that
me.
And then that Anne lady bought it for £1, that Scottish hermit lady.
Anne Blythe,
bought it for £1 and then was going to just turn it into a housing estate.
But please
go on that and look. The Isle of Thanet News there.
Yeah. Anyway, we've reached the end of the show. Really? I just need to tell you about our sister show on Friday, the Business Bunker Extra Show at 11 o'clock with the lovely Amanda Flanders. And this week her co-host is Mr. Mark Goldfinch and her guest is Bjorn Hayes. And Bjorn is a process consultant.
Oh, I thought that was the tennis
management
player for a minute. But I love Bjorn, of course.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. We've reached the end of the show. Thank you so much. A huge thank you to this week's show guests, Mr. Bruce Kidd of Oasis.
Thank you.
Mr. Neville Pritchard of People in Flow.
Thank you.
Our show sponsors, Phoenix Analysts, and my lovely co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin. We'll be back with a Business Bunker next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
It's Club Culture.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.